We're talking about power, talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in us, and because He has His hold on us, and we, like Paul said, we live and move and have our being within Him, then there are things that are going to be uncommon about the power that lives within us and moves us and pours out from us. So we're talking about an uncommon power. John, that first slide, if you would. Go back to John chapter 14. As Jesus is preparing to suffer and go through the trial, He tells His believers, the disciples who are closest to Him, that He says to them, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And the only reason that He could say that was because He knew that the Holy Spirit was going to come and that the Spirit was going to overwhelm us and be the thing that made us one, made us the body of Christ, so we could really do those things. So go to that slide with all my titles on it there, John. We talked about the power to heal and restore. We talked about the power to defeat evil. And today we move on to the power to tough it out. I want to talk about toughing it out. You can apply all the other lessons that were in the video, but the fact of the matter is we have an uncommon power that lives within us, that has us, that is there to help us to get through the hard stuff. And we can get through the hard stuff. First passage I want to look at comes from Colossians chapter 1. Paul wrote to them, he said, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We can tough it out. Did you hear it? He said, being strengthened with all power so that you might what? Have what? Being strengthened with all power so that you might have endurance and patience. He didn't say so that you would have an easy time and life would go hunky-dory and always be going your way. He said that you would have the power, the uncommon power within you and me, so that when we do endure hardship and trouble and difficulty, that we will endure and we will be patient within it. Power to do that. Uncommon. It is not normal. That's not usual. I don't know too many people that consider that they have the power of God within them to help them endure. They think that they have to endure all by themselves. That it's something that they're out there on the island all by themselves to do. Because we get our feelers stuck. But if we believe what Paul was saying, he was praying for the Colossians, we know that God wants us to endure. It is His desire that we endure. That's why He empowered us so that we could endure. He wants us to tough it out. And the fact of the matter is, aside from what we kind of convince ourselves here in affluent U.S. of A., it is a part, a normal part of the Christian life to have to endure and persevere and have to tough it out. For some reason, we've kind of convinced ourselves that that's not what God has for us. But He does. And it is. So how does our culture view the quality of endurance, patience, and perseverance? pick any one or pick all three. It doesn't matter. How does the culture view perseverance, patience, and endurance? Patience is not an essential value in the culture of the United States of America. Shouldn't have to wait. And so there's this odd dichotomy or disconnect in that we don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. We don't want to necessarily persevere. But we sort of respect people and have great admiration for people that we know have. So in one sense, it's valued. In the other, it's, in my life, I'd rather not. You know, the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, that doesn't always seem to fit these days. It's the blame game. It's somebody, why I couldn't. Why didn't I? And you know, it is pervasive in the culture. It's a struggle in the culture when people want to start in the middle or at the top instead of starting at the bottom and working their way up. You know, that's kind of not a part of the psyche of the American culture anymore. Hard work, working from, you know, getting to know everything from the ground up and work, you know, starting in the mailroom or starting in, you know, on the assembly room floor or whatever, you know. So I want to be the CEO. I just graduated yesterday. Thank you very much. And if I can't, then I'll just sit and not do anything. So what are the problems of inconvenience, expediency, and impatience? Because you hear those words from us quite a bit. But isn't that the necessary opposite of endurance, patience, and perseverance? The problem with inconvenience, not convenient for me, which Gary kind of gave us the illustration about. Expediency, you know, cutting corners in order to get a quick product, okay? Or not going through the necessary. I think of the illustration of the moth. Whenever the caterpillar gets in that cocoon, it's got to fight its way out of that cocoon in order to strengthen itself to be able to sustain itself as a moth. If you try to open up that cocoon for that pupa, yeah, it's going to die. It's going to be too weak. Isn't that something that we don't like to pay attention to? That whole idea of expediency, we want to cut corners. And we don't realize that we weaken ourselves and we weaken others whenever we don't trust God to let us wrestle a little bit with stuff. All right. Well, here's another analogy. This one's from Paul's second letter to Timothy. He tells Timothy this. He says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." So Paul was going through what kind of stuff when he wrote this? What kind of things had Paul endured? Was he enduring? Tell me some things that happened to Paul along the journey. Okay, he was in prison between two guards. Okay, which was, he just saw them as captive audiences. Okay, so he's in prison. What else has happened to him? He was on a ship. He was shipwrecked. Okay. What else? Been beaten. Accused falsely. Okay? And ultimately he was. So, all these hardships. But he says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So, he's going to give us three analogies. First one is the soldier analogy. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. That's analogy one. Analogy two. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Number two. Number three. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Three analogies. All about the opposite of convenience, expediency, and I want it now. And the absence of pain. or problem. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Okay, so what do we learn about the endurance, about endurance and toughing it out from each one of these analogies? First of all, the soldier. What do we learn from the soldier analogy? Okay, do what you're told. Now, what does that have to do with enduring hardship? Trust your authority. Okay, when do you have to trust your authority? I just won a new car on the new Price is Right. I'm on the lines in Afghanistan, and I was told to go on a recon mission that has very few chances of anyone getting out without injury or death. So, what do I do? Got to trust. Okay. The problem is we don't think that God's going to allow this situation for us because it's not safe, comfortable, easy. Certainly God wouldn't put us in this situation. He wouldn't put us in this relational breakdown on purpose. But if we turn to the lesson of the soldier, what do we learn about those events and facing those events? The calling of being a follower of Jesus, part of that is to deal with the circumstance that God allows you to be in and trust that whatever that circumstance you find yourself in, that God has given you the resources through the power of His Holy Spirit to deal with and endure whatever. Just like that military. Okay, the boss says, I've got to go take the hill. It's risky. But it's what we've got to do, and the boss has said, this is what we've got to do. Got a cost. But it's the calling that we have. The calling is not to always have air conditioning and heat. And I could throw in my story about my friend. I've got buddies who have been in Siberia as missionaries. They're moving to Moscow. So when they went back, they've been here on furlough for several months. They went back. They had to fly into Moscow. Then they flew into Novosibirsk, Siberia. And in their garage, they're packing all their stuff to put it on a pod kind of thing to be shipped to Russia. It's negative 32 in their garage, and that's where they're packing. You can't get away from it. Now, just thought. I haven't had to do that any time recently. The lesson is that no matter what we encounter, we do have the power of the Holy Spirit, oddly enough, to help us endure by helping us focus and be centered on what He wants us to be and do. I know that's hard for us to believe, but it's true. In the middle of whatever He calls us to, He will give us that single-minded capability. And that is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. It is not just some characteristic that guys have that girls don't. Or girls have that guys don't, or whatever. Or this personality has and that one doesn't. Part of it is we get distracted, but we also try to make it more complicated than it is. We're to be light. We're to be salt. We're to be nice. We're to be kind. We're to be loving. We're to be forgiving. We are to do the things that Jesus did. But in the midst of all that, we get kind of out of focus. And that's really the simplicity of the marching orders. Not easy, but it is not complicated in terms of understanding. Second analogy, the athlete. What do we learn from the analogy of the athlete? Doesn't God do that with us a lot of times? He wants us to focus on the next step, or the next crawl, not seeing and then us deciding it's not worth it. Because we don't know what's now, which is what leads me into the next thing, and then I'm going to let Lynn talk. It's about who makes the rules. Who makes the rules? I don't get to make the rules. I have to live by the rules. I have to work within the rules. And I have to train and prepare within the rules that I'm given. Now, the good news is God doesn't change the rules. But He's the one that sets the rules. So I can't complain or excuse myself because I don't like the rules. I don't like where I am, so I'm just going to sit here on foul. Because God wants me to do something hard, and I don't want to do it. I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of me when I take that posture. And I act that way. And I play the poor, poor, pitiful me or why me stuff. That's what I get from that. You know, if you're going to endure to the end, you're going to be victorious. You can't pout because you can't control the rules. Lynn, what were you saying? Training and coaching to know the rules, to live within the rules, to just not worry about the rules and say, this is what I have to do if I want that end, that goal. All right, John, next screen, the farmer. What do we learn from the farmer? That the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Should be. What does that say about endurance and perseverance, enduring hardship? Okay? Because God is fair. You see, one of the things we believe whenever we endure hardship is that it's not fair. But what we forget is that our vision doesn't demonstrate for us clearly all the time. You know, this morning, y'all, the fog was there, right? If it was as bad around here as it was where I came through, the way we left the house, you could hardly see anything. Then by about the time we got to Montgomery Crossroads, the fog began to lift. And I could see all the stuff that was there that I couldn't see. Just because the fog was there and I couldn't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And from year to year, you have no, and you have to work just as hard, sometimes harder, one year when the crop's not good. You have to put more money and time into it than you do in a year where it's everything's advantageous in terms of the circumstances, the weather, the temperature, the, you know, all and everything. But they still have to work hard. You know, still have. And they have to be, anyway, all the things. It's what just what it is. It's what it is. All right, let's move on to the next. We're going to look at something that the writer to Hebrews says, and then, is it 10:35 already? Huh? Oh, it's, my phone is going crazy. It said 9:35. I'm thinking, oh. All right. Let's go to Hebrews. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We can't do that unless we have the Holy Spirit working through us and in us. So why do we need to have hardship through which we must tough it out? Why is it we need it? It produces patience. What else? I think that is true. We don't know what's good if we don't know what's hard or what's easy if we don't. Or what's blessing if we don't know the challenge and the trial? Okay? What else? Why do we need hardship? Why do we need trial? Why do we need temptation? don't know if that works. Why is it we have to deal with it? Okay? All right, so we can be ambassadors. All right? I can understand that. Sometimes things that we seem to think are curses are actually blessings. And in Romans chapter 8, it does say, all things work together for good. Those who love God and are called according to His purpose, right? All the things. Even the things that are meant to be bad in terms of where that came from. Okay, what is God's highest purpose for you and me? You hear, I ask this question a lot. I'm going to ask it again. What's God's highest purpose for you and me? What's His plan? That we would be like Jesus. All right, so let's look at what Jesus had to go through. Is there any way that any one of us can say that we can be like Jesus if we don't encounter hardship and trial? You can't. It's not optional. Even Jesus in the garden said, Father, if this can be taken, do it, but if it can't, and He knew. He didn't say, don't do this. He said, your will be done. Right? Hardship is not optional because we've got to be like Jesus. He's got to allow us to endure and depend on Him. Becky, you're right. All these things drive us back, should drive us back to Him, who is our strength, who empowers us, who drives us. But He does it like a dad who loves us and knows that we have to go out there in our new car and drive around. Does that make sense to you? And at times in our new car that we're driving around in, something's going to happen to that car and it's not going to work. Or you're going to get behind an 18-wheeler that's going to behave badly. And you're going to have to deal with that. Through suffering, Jesus said, He learned obedience. Yes, which means we're better ambassadors. But that's what Jesus did, isn't it? He became like one of us, flesh and blood, susceptible to the same things, but yet different because He didn't buckle under the pressure and give in to the things that we've given into, the sins, the things that have drug us down. All right, one more passage from Hebrews, a little earlier in the book, though, in the epistle here. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. The will of God is that you trust Him through the hardship, that you and I persevere the storm and we get through. And He gives us the strength and He gives us the power, even though our flesh is telling us, no, I don't want to do this. Even though our flesh is telling us, they don't have to go through it, why me? That we know if we'll trust Him in it, we'll make it through. And it may not be the way we think it looks, or it's going to look, but we'll make it through. And that's why He has placed this uncommon power within us. Because He does intend that we will make it through. Just like Jesus made it through. He overcame sin and death. And He's alive right now. So how do we get there? Let's run through some things real quick. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy, he said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Next passage. For everything was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That from Romans 15. Now in those two passages, there's two things that are glaringly important as we trust the Spirit's work in our lives. And that is, we understand that God uses two things to help us have this uncommon power. And those two things are His Word that He has revealed and the people that He's put in our lives who love Him. We have the Word and the body. And that the Word and the body are there to help the Spirit within us give ourselves over to this uncommon power to endure hardship. Without the Word and without the body, we're not nearly as strong. And the Spirit doesn't have its hold on us the way that it should in order for us to endure. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see here. Let me get to the next thing. All right. Next one, John. This one's also from Romans. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. Next one, John. And this one, we'll go to James. James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, i.e., you'll be like Jesus." So what we see in these two passages, let me boil it down, is number one, facing suffering and testing should be expected, if not welcome. I know we don't do that. I know I don't have that, and I'm still working on it. I don't see something that's testing me or stressing me and go, "Oh, goody, good. I have all these things to do. Good, I don't have enough time. Good." I don't look at it that way yet. But I think if we remember God's ultimate goal for us, that we be like Jesus, that we'll understand that He will give us what we need to be like Jesus. And that means even to endure and persevere and deal with the stuff that we have to encounter. And we can tough it out. There are a lot of people that you and I know that simply need to know that there is a power that can help them tough it out, and it doesn't have anything to do with chanting or doing exercises or whatever, that it just has to do with trusting the living God and letting each of us experience what it means for Him to live within us, and that we can endure. They can tough it out. You can tough it out. People need to know that God helps them tough it out. You know people like that? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for the gift of Your Spirit that Your Son sent. Lord, He said that His life would come and be within us. And Lord, we know that because You are our God, You are our Father, and You have come to live within us, that we now have resources that will help us to become more like Jesus, even when that means we have to encounter things we don't want to encounter. When we face suffering or persecution, and we have to persevere, and we have to work hard, Lord, help us not to go and see it the way of the world, but that, Lord, we would understand that as a good Father, You are allowing it in our lives so that we can grow up and that we will trust You and find you to be faithful. Lord, let us be so bold as to say, finish your work in us and not be afraid. I ask this in Jesus' name.